should I go? Had trouble on my left side, trouble on my right, and I couldn't go forward. I had mountains in my way. Well, one thing I know, I won't go back. I won't go back. So I just looked up and tell him, Lord, you gotta fix it. You gotta fix it. You just gotta fix it for me. I know you will. He did it for me, y'all.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Have your way, Lord. Stir up the gift in us, Lord, that we may be pleasing in your sight. Do it, Father. Have your way. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb. Those who don't know you, Lord, in the pardon of their sin, wash us, God. That we may come out clean and white and snow. Our souls to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glorify you. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what gives us the victory. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us. And the blood of Jesus is the power that gives us strength from day to day. If it hasn't been for the blood of Jesus, there will be no remission of sin, and our sin would remain, and we would be accursed, and we would die death and have an eternal death, separation from God. But glory be to his name that he sent Jesus, who had an undefiled blood. We talked about this morning in our minister's teacher's meeting. A pure blood that no one else had. Adam didn't have it. No one else had it. But this blood is what gave us victory. This blood is what saves us and delivers us. And not only that, but it protects us. It cleanses us and cures us of our infirmities. That blood. And since then, there's no need for another sacrifice. Because that one sacrifice, that one, did it all for us. And you know what? It never loses its power. It's still as potent today to wash away your sin than it was 2,000 years ago. Thank God for the blood. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that covers us and cleanses us and cures and connects us to you. Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you visit it with us today in your glory. And we say you're holy, holy, holy.
Holy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving me clarity of thought and precision of speech. And thank you for the gifts of your spirit. Thank you for the guidance of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the sustaining power of your word. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome, God. Lord, you're awesome. You're mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts of the hearers today. Make my tongue as a ready writer, Lord. Let their hearts, Lord, be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of God, the word of faith that brings healing and deliverance and miracles and power and peace and even prosperity to those that believe when they hear the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, in our moment of intimacy with you, that you've kissed us upon our lips and we've been made whole in your presence, Lord. Thank you, God. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen again. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood never loses its power. We don't know it sometimes, but the devil knows that the blood never loses its power. I don't care how deep in sin you get, the blood can still wash away your sin. I don't care how black your soul looks. Oh, he'll dip it in red blood. And it can come out whiter than snow. There's nothing that... And the Bible says that he's coming back after a church without spot or wrinkle. So guess what? The spots, when the blood of Jesus is at the church, there's no spots. Oh, my God. He's already took care of the spots. Now it's time for us to get the wrinkles out. Amen. Amen. How do I do that? I need to stretch it out. Amen. Amen. I need to put some heat on it. I need to put some weight. Oh, my God. On this. Amen. Let's go to the word of God. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through verse 8. Amen. I had just the start in my head and in my mind about change. Amen. Amen. Ask your neighbor. So are you in need of a change? Now tell your neighbor, you're in the right place. Amen. In need of a change, you're in the right place. Amen. So he said, woe is me. And he began to confess that I'm unclean. My lips unclean. Jesus said this. He said, what goes in a man doesn't defile him, but what? All that gossip. All that mess we keep up. Church folk mess. Calling on the telephone and talking all that trash about other people. All them assumptions you make about what they think about you. All that paranoid confessions that you make to your friends need to stop. Amen anyway. Amen. We got to get past that. He said, woe is me. He saw himself first. Many of us, we don't see ourselves. I be preaching. I hear people say, tell them. I'm telling you. He told me, now I'm telling you. Hallelujah. That's the main person that need to put the shoe on. If you can't say, oh, amen, say, I'm the man. Amen. If you don't want nobody to know, say, oh, man. But anyway, it's true that we are unclean in our lips. When we talk, he said, not only am I unclean, but the folks I hang around unclean. He said, I might not have said nothing, but they said it and I heard it. And I became a public dumping place for people's mess. We got to stop being the dumping place for garbage. You need to tell people on Monday morning, or better yet, this evening when you leave church. You got a text just a while ago that somebody said something. A little while ago, they say this. And you waiting to check that text. When ain't nobody listening or looking at church, you waiting to look and see what they said. Amen. We waiting for mess all the time. We try to keep it up. We get jealous hearted. We get envious. Come on and say amen. Say amen for I think it's you. We get envious. We get jealous. We want to talk about people for no reason. You don't like their hair. You don't like because they did well. Now you hating on them and you don't think nothing wrong with that. You got a devil. Yes, you do. Anytime you feel good about somebody else doing bad, you got a problem. You need help and you need a change in your life. But you're in the right place today. You're in the right place for a change because we can't, as church people, the people of God, children of God, we can't keep talking negative and lying on people and talking about people. And then we tell lies as if it's the truth because we heard somebody else who we think is credible. Since we think they're credible, we repeat what they say. Do you know that as a fact? No. But so-and-so say, I heard, and they say, the two biggest lies ever walk the face of the earth is I heard, and they say, you ain't heard nothing, and they didn't say nothing. Who is they say? Who is they? They'll never have a name. We got to stop that. Stop. If you don't want somebody to tell you how they feel, quit telling people how you feel. As soon as somebody tell you how they feel, then you offended, you mad, you angry, and they came at me wrong. Well, you do it all the time. So you open the door. If you got a glass house, don't throw rocks. Because somebody will bust your house too. Amen. Need to put your rocks down and come out with your hands up. Amen. Quit throwing at people. Quit saying stuff about people. If you're mad, get happy. You need the joy of the Lord. You got all that junk in your heart. You don't have no joy in your heart because of mess. You can't stand the people you work with. You can't stand the people you go to church with. Yeah, I get the word, but I don't fool with them folks. The devil is a lie. That's something wrong. You need a change. Can't say nothing nice about nobody. We got to stop that stuff. It's not befitting to come out of your mouth and say that you're a child. The Bible says that when we talk about our brother, it is as if we're talking about the word of God itself. And if we're talking bad about the word, because he is a word that came from God. Amen. Amen. He's a word from God that the only way we can exist is if God spoke us into existence. He gave a word and all of a sudden you came to be. And so when you talk about him, you're talking about the word of God. We got to stop that. We got to find ourselves speaking what God says and not what we think. I feel this way. Well, quit feeling everything. Start praying about some stuff. I just feel this. I discern. You ain't discern. You messy. You ain't discerning nothing. How you discerning something you calling people on the telephone talking about them? Better yet, you don't call them on the telephone. You go by their house because you're afraid that somebody got a scanner and they can hear what you say. Y'all can say amen. We got to stop that. The Bible says that you're snared by the words that come out of your mouth. You get caught up by your words. You die because of your words. Amen. We need to learn how to say the right things at the right time. It's not always the right time to say what you want to say because you feel a certain way. I'm just going to say it. Well, be prepared to deal with what comes after it. Then you can't pray because of your mess that you started. Now you're trying to pray on somebody, P-R-E-Y. Amen? You're not praying for them. You're praying on them. Amen? But that was said in the temple. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I got people that I hang with. They're unclean too. I dwell with them. I live with them. But my eyes have seen. Look at that. Even though I was messed up, I was looking for a change. And now my eyes have seen the King. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I've been messed up. Yeah, you said some stuff. You did some stuff. But you're here to see the King. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, the Lord of hosts. Amen. And then since I've seen myself, not only have I seen the King, but since now I've seen myself, I've been honest with myself. I've confessed that I don't have it all together in spite of what people think. I've confessed that I'm not everything that I'm supposed to be. Guess what? Then God said, let me take care of what you need. When you realize that you need God and you can't do it all by yourself, you can't change without God, you can't move without God. The Bible says it's in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. We need God. And when we realize that, verse 6 happens in our life. And we find ourselves, look, it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had been taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquities are taken away, and thy sin is purged. We need to get to a point here in our life that we say, you know, I got some issues. My mouth messes me up. I'm unclean. I'm defiled at times, but I seen God, and I know He's not going to let me stay like I am. He wants me to change. He needs me. Oh, come on and say amen. He wants to use me, so He's going to change me. The first thing God did in the life of Isaiah before He called him to the prophetic office is that He changed his language. God will change your language. Oh, the first thing that we need to do whenever we get saved, we say, I'm going to stop lying and I'm going to stop cussing. Come on and say amen. And that's not because we make the choice. It's because the Holy Spirit in us say that you can't keep lying and cussing and gossiping. I wish I had somebody. And then me use you at the same time. James say, can bitter water and sweet water come out the same fountain? No, it can't. You know why? Because if I drink bitter water from one time, I'm going to think the water bitter all the time. So I'm not going to want to drink. So you can't tell me nothing if you bitter. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you got to be able to get better so then I can say, oh, yeah, now the water's right. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, I wish I had some help here. So you can't keep being bitter in your tongue and people don't want to drink what you have to say because God wants to use you. He's going to have to change your language. He said, now they took and the seraphim took and laid a hot coal on his mouth. We call that cauterization, where you have an open wound and somebody puts heat on it and begins the healing process by placing something hot on it. Amen. And so what happened was Isaiah had a problem in his mouth, like all of us. Don't lie and say you don't. Oh yeah, Isaiah had a problem in his mouth. He had a wound, an open wound, that when he opened his mouth, something run out that shouldn't. Come on and say amen. He was losing life through his mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, so he was losing life out of his mouth. And so the seraphim took the coal from the altar, placed it on his lips, and said, now you're cleansed. Now you're whole. Come on and say amen. Now what really got me focusing on that scripture is that that when he took it from the altar, notice where it came from. It came from the altar. In order for us to get things right, in order for us to get a change in our life, we got to go to the place of the sacrifice. Oh yeah, the altar is the place of sacrifice. The altar is the place where you put the dead things to burn them up. I wish I had some help here. There's some issues in your life that's been dead weight holding you down, and you need to lay them at the altar and leave them at the altar so that they can be burned up and the ashes can be taken away. I wish I had somebody. Some things I don't want to remember. Some things I don't want to have to keep dealing with. So I need to leave it at the altar so it can be burned up. Amen. We need to know what happens at the altar. What happens at the altar is that change comes at the altar. When you have fire, oh, come on and say amen. When you have fire and material, there is a change that happens. Whatever you put in fire, fire has a way of changing the way it looks. And so when I come to the altar, I'm coming toward the fire. I'm coming toward the cross, the crimson blood of Jesus. That's my altar. And when I get to the altar, I no longer look like I used to. I look like somebody else. I look like something else. That's why he said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, then he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I start to look different. I start to look like somebody else. You don't recognize me. Man, I didn't even recognize you. Is that you? Yes, it's me. It used to be me when I was hanging under the tree, but now I'm telling you about a tree that a man hung off of. Oh, come on and say amen here. I wish I had somebody. We got to look at what happened to Isaiah. The Bible says that when they touched his lip, and sometime when you come to the altar, all you need is a touch. Oh, yeah, we come for a lot of things. We come for all kind of stuff at the altar. But when we get to the altar, all we need is a touch. We need some fiery being, somebody who's on fire for God, somebody like the seraphim who's been in the presence of God, who knows what God looks like and still say, ah, he's holy. Oh, come on and say amen. Somebody who will testify to others that God is holy and that that his glory fills the earth. We need somebody who's on fire for God when they come to the altar to touch them so that they'll be changed for the better. Oh, praise his name. He said that, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin has been purged. What are you talking about there? When you talk about iniquity, there's some inward sin. You know the stuff you don't want nobody to know. You know the things that when you testify, when you get to that point, you start shouting because you don't want to continue talking. You know what I'm talking about. That kind of stuff that you say, oh, glory to that he delivered you from the iniquity, the stuff down on the inside of you. You know you got some stuff in you, some iniquity in you, that guilt that's in you that nobody else knows about, but you take it home at night and you say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need a change. But what you need is to come to the altar and let a fiery seraphim touch you. Somebody's been in the presence of God, and then you will be changed. If you're in need of a change, you're in the right place. I wish I had somebody here. He says it'll take away your iniquity and purge your sin. In other words, it takes sin out of your life. When I come to the altar for alterations, then it'll take sin out of my life. No longer will I sin against the Lord, but I hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Look at verse number 8. And now we see where Isaiah is surrendering and submitting to God. Look at what he says. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And verse 9 saying, he said, go. I wish I had somebody that was ready to go. I wish I had somebody that knew that God was calling you out to go. Mm-hmm. Some of you thought that he was saying, go home and don't do nothing. Go to church and sit on the pew. But he's saying, go and tell the people. Come on and say amen. Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people. He surrendered after he was changed. Some of us, we don't want to surrender totally to God. We get a little change in our life, and then we say, that's enough. God, I wanted you to change me a little, but I don't want you to change me that much where my folks don't like me, where my friends don't want to deal with me, where I can't have no fun in my flesh. I don't want you to change me that much because I still like to juke and jive a little bit. I don't want you to change me that much. I still like to tell my white lies. You know, you can go to hell for white lies too. Oh, come on and say amen here. I still want my stinking thinking. Oh, come on and say amen. I know this is a harder message than you're used to, but you need to surrender yourself to him. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord. When you come into the presence of God, do you know that God is always speaking? We don't hear his voice because we're too busy focusing on something else. Isaiah focus was on God. He focused on the throne. He focused on the seraphims that was around God. He focused on the smoke that was in the temple. He forgot about Uzziah because he didn't mention him again since verse 1. He forgot about what he had been dealing with and all that he had been going through. He forgot about all that. That's why Paul said these words, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what's before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. He said, now I heard the voice after I went and got myself changed. Then I can hear what God has to say. The reason why we can't hear God is because we won't allow him to change our hearts. We won't allow him to change our speech and change our language. I wish I had somebody in here today. Oh yeah, he said, now I can hear God. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? God said, I'm looking for a few good men. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. The only reason why a few are chosen is only a few won't change. He said that broad is the way, but narrow is the way that we should go. I wish I had somebody. The way to destruction is broad, but the way of life is narrow. Only a few people find it. And so that's why we can say that many are called, but few are chosen. Only a few people won't change. Only a few people want real change. Some people want to be changed from rags to riches. I wish I had somebody. They want to be changed from being a nobody to being a somebody. But nobody wants the real change. The change that comes from knowing God. Let me get Moses up here. Moses, would you testify of the change? Moses raised his right hand and said, I will. Moses said, I went up to the mountaintop. I used to be a murderer. I grew up in Pharaoh's house, so I knew all the sorcery and trickery. But I went up to the mountaintop one day. But when I stayed there 40 days and I came down off the mountain, the people said, Moses, you don't look like yourself. You need to cover yourself up unless we die. Well, Moses covered his face. Some of you don't need to cover up today. That was the Old Testament. He said that there was a veil that needed to be put up. But God said, I rent the veil. I took away the veil. And now I'm trying to reveal to you who I really am. I wish I had somebody. Y'all looking at me like I'm talking French. Oh, parlez-vous français. I wish I had somebody here that understood that you got to surrender. He said, who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, I got to volunteer. After he had a vision and after he heard God's voice, he said, I'm a volunteer to go. See, God wants people who by their own volition decides that I'll serve you. He wants people by their own volition that say, Lord, I'll be the prayer warrior. He wants people that are not forced to come to church, but they say, I can't miss it because I'm going to meet the King. God wants people that say, I'm not here for any other reason. I'm not trying to find a good woman, but I'm looking for the man from Galilee who can give sight to the blind. Oh, come on, I wish I had somebody. Y'all don't want me to preach this morning, but I'll preach anyway. As Winslow say, preach.com. Oh, he said, here am I. And he said, not only am I willing, but I'm telling you to send me. I'm ready to go. Anybody here say, I'm available. See, we got too much stuff in us. We got so much junk in us. We need to clean the storage building and say, Lord, I'm available. My storage is empty. Fill it with whatever you want to fill it with. I want you to clean me out and then fill me up with your Holy Ghost. Fill me with your word. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with the goodness of God so that I can tell somebody how Jesus came down here. I can tell somebody how he came down through 42 and 39. You know, 42 prophets, 39 generations. How he came down here and he decided to take up a cross. And so since he took up a cross, we need to take up a cross. That's the change I'm making. I'm tired of walking around with this burden. He said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I need to change my yoke. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, if any man comes after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. That's the change I make. I'm putting down people. I'm putting down junk. I'm putting down stuff that don't matter, and I'm picking up my cross. I can't carry two or three things because my cross, I gotta carry it. I put both hands on my cross, and I carry my cross because he carried his cross that was symbolic of my cross.
I wish I had somebody. But he went up the hill. And when he got up the hill, the Bible said that he stumbled. And there was one man that was chosen out. And he said, they said, carry this cross the rest of the way. Anybody here? Say, I'll go the rest of the way. I'll go if I have to go. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I guess I'll go by myself. I'll go if I have to go by myself. I'll preach if I preach by myself. You see, sometime I'll preach and I might have to amen myself. Come on and say, yeah, I preach on this side. Step over and say, amen, brother. I preach on this side.